Gettysburg Seminary presents the Seminary Explores podcast. Conversations on faith, art, people, politics, theology, life, and more. With voices from around the corner and around the globe. Welcome to the Seminary Explores. I'm Katie Giebenhain with Seminary Ridge Review. My guest is Lee Rydberg, a storyboard artist, photographer, and film writer. She is the current artist-in-residence at the Gettysburg National Military Park. Lee, welcome to the Seminary Explorers.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, could you tell us about your project with the 1st Minnesota and the Battle of Gettysburg?
Yes, I kind of stumbled upon this idea about a year and a half ago. I was back in my hometown in Minnesota, and I was already researching the Civil War for some reason. I just became obsessed with this time period. And I inquired at the local history center about the soldiers that had enlisted in, you know, from my hometown. And I started reading about them, and it kind of made it a more of a personal journey with my research. You know, mm-hmm. I knew where they were from. I knew, you know, what they faced when they you know, joined up and mustered in and went to war. And I was able to follow their lives all the way through till when they were, you know, back in Minnesota. And some of them didn't come back, obviously, but mm-hmm. it just sucked me in. And that's when I decided to write the screenplay.
Wow. And could you also describe a little bit about what it means to be a storyboard artist, or what storyboarding is? Some people might have
it's
an
really,
idea, and some people,
you know, won't. If we're gonna, you know, I had a lot of success. I've been practicing this question a lot since I got here, and the most success I've had was when it was a Civil War related answer. And so, basically, the storyboard is kind of like the blueprint for the screenplay. Mm-hmm. So it's a way for the director to be like, or the art, you know, or the production designer to be like, hey, this is what I want it to look like, guys. So it's almost like a battle plan, you know. It's like the thing that the generals would lay out on the table, and everybody that was making decisions would stand around this document and look at it and get it and know what the plan was. And that's sort of what the storyboard is. The storyboard goes with the screenplay, so when you read the screenplay, you might have a different idea of how things would look in your head.
Right.
So the storyboard is kind of just keeping everybody on the same page. Well, this is what we want it to look like. This is the shot that we want. If we want to use a crane for the shot, if we want a close-up, you know, it's kind of like illustrating the action of the story.
Well, and I can imagine it's such a collaborative effort to do a film that you really, really need something like that to keep people at least in the same scope.
And the storyboard artist is kind of like the workhorse, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, in another Civil War term, you know, I was definitely the workhorse when I was a storyboard artist on a film. And, you know, you're sort of at the director's mercy because it's, you know, or the, you know, the production designer's mercy because it's their vision, and you're kind of like their tool. You're their eyes mm-hmm. and their hands. So, for me, it was really great with the storyboards for this because they're my storyboards and this is how I want it to look. And you know, and another great opportunity, I know we're going to get into this in the following questions, but another opportunity that I really, really relished was being here in Gettysburg and the surrounding areas. Like, I went to Antietam the other day, and I was able to see where these places were in real life, mm-hmm. you know, so I could do sketches, you know, in my head and in actual, you know, place rather than, you know, relying so much on this, on my imagination or, you know, the contemporary pictures of the time. And sometimes there weren't pictures, you know. One of my main characters is shot at Antietam and lays there for days, and I was able to find relatively where that was and see it. Look up at the sky and just think about it, you know, and where the road was in relation to where he was shot, you know, things like that. It's huge, you know. So, you know, usually when you're a storyboard artist, you know, you don't necessarily know where they're going to be filming a scene. So, and also I've worked as a location scout where I would be given the storyboards mm-hmm. and, okay, go try to find this in real life. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's almost like taking a dream, you know, uh-huh. of someone's yeah. and then trying to make it into the, you know, taking a subconscious thing and making it into the conscious world. You know, it's a really, but I mean, you know, the storyboards are, you know, they're kind of like the go-to for so many of these, you know, different departments in the film world, so...
And actually, the battle plan is like the perfect metaphor for this, too, isn't it?
It is a battle plan, too.
It kind of clicked for me when you described that.
Oh, good.
I was like,
I'll have to use that in the real world, too. This is a real world, but it's its own little special real world, Gettysburg.
And tell us something about your training, about your preparation for this.
Okay, boy, you know, it's kind of a step into the unknown. I've never written a screenplay. I have every book you could possibly imagine lined up at home in my office and as well here that I dragged with me along in my car. I have a lot of people that I can go to for advice. You know, I've been obsessively listening to podcasts. There's a really great podcast that if anyone's listening that's interested in writing, his name is Jeff Goldblum. I always get his last name wrong, but it's a podcast for screenwriters. Mm. And so they interview, you know, a lot of working screenwriters, and they talk about their process, you know, what works for them, what doesn't work for them, how they get their movies made into films. And it's just a really good resource. I'm so sorry. Hopefully they can add at the end of this the name of the actual podcast, but that's a great resource. And, you know, just knowing that your rough draft is a rough draft, and allowing yourself to be terrible, you know, and then just having people that you can go to that will read your screenplay, give you good advice, and just keep working at it. And it'll be, you know, each draft will be better, you know, as it goes. But, I mean, I'm also, you know, working, too. I worked on a Woody Harrelson movie over the summer and in the locations department. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I do photography side projects. So, you know, this is very much a labor of love. And I was given this opportunity by Gettysburg to just focus on this for a month. And, you know, had I not had this opportunity, I probably wouldn't, you know, have been made as much progress so quickly. So it was kind of a way for me to shut the door on any future jobs and know I'm going to be here for a month and that's it. And, you know, it really helps me, you know, sort of make my dream into something sustainable, you know, rather than just a little pet project that I do in my spare time.
Well, and also now that you'll be going back with a very different perspective, and you'll have a very different focus, I can imagine, when you return to Minnesota and when you're completing the project. And so what has it been like you're staying in the Klingel House, uh-huh. right? How is it going?
Boy, you know, it's so funny. I have to say it because this is something that was really surprising to me. So I got there and I was so excited. You know, I've been reading about the Civil War and, you know, it was so aesthetically beautiful, this place. I mean, you're in this beautiful farmhouse of the period, and it's just gorgeous. I mean, you can see for miles, and, you know, there's no highway, there's no pottery barn, you know, there's no modernism, really, except for a few places really far away. So, I mean, I step out my door in the morning, and it's 1863, you know. But one thing that I did feel was maybe I'm just sensitive to it, but I felt really sad. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I came here on the 125th anniversary when I was a little girl, and I loved it, and I, you know, took all these pictures with the little cheap kepi that I bought in the gift shop, and I just thought it was so great, you know, and I had these really happy memories of being here as a kid, and it totally changed my life. But coming back as an adult for this project, maybe it was the undertaking that I knew I was doing. Plum Run is, you know, just a quick walk from the house, and that's where a lot of my guys fell, and maybe that resonated, but I also had an ancestor that was in the 3rd Alabama, and he was shot on the first day's battle, and maybe that resonated. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I was real kind of meditative, melancholy, mm-hmm. as they called it back then, the first week that I was here. And then, you know, I gradually, you know, kind of pulled myself out of it and was able to, you know, feel other emotions. But it's an emotional place. It, mm-hmm. it resonates here, and a lot of people don't know that until they get here.
And you've also been able to look into some of the archives at the park, or do you want to say just a couple of other things that you've been doing in the course of your residency?
Wow, yeah, the archives here are incredible. The people that work here are incredible. There were some diaries that I didn't even know existed that they pulled mm-hmm. for me. And, you know, I had a moment where, I was at Antietam the other day, and then, you know, one of the letters that they had by a soldier that I didn't even really knew existed was talking about Antietam and what it was like. And, you know, he talked about the color bearer that was hit, and that was my guy, you know, and here he is talking about it, you know. And that was, you know, it makes them feel alive. You know, every time you go and you see this firsthand account, you know, of someone's diary or someone's letter, and I did this a lot in the Minnesota Historical Society room too, and you're holding this actual artifact that was there, You know, it's just, it makes it so much more real, and it feels like they're alive for just a second, mm-hmm. you know, when you're reading it. And as a writer, you know, that's kind of trying to make this fictional story, you know, I'm not trying to write it with a capital H, as Tarantino would say, mm-hmm. but I want to try to stick as close to the real men as possible, and these, mm-hmm. these little gems are truly gems, and if I wouldn't have come here, I wouldn't have been able to. I mean, I think it, you know, a lot of this stuff was a recent acquisition that they got in 2008, I believe. So the family had donated it mm-hmm. to, and thank, you know, bless these families for doing this and not selling it to private collectors mm-hmm. because everyone has an opportunity to come here to Gettysburg, anybody, yeah. and look at this stuff and learn from it, you know, and that's a huge treasure for the American public. So that's what I loved about this place. I mean, all these museums. Your museum is absolutely fantastic. I can't wait to see it when I get out of, you know, when I finish up today. It's just wonderful.
And I have to say something when we're talking about writing in general. Mm-hmm. Something that you mentioned about first drafts, I really uh-huh. appreciate. You just said that, you know, it's a first draft. It's supposed to be terrible.
Yeah.
And I know that this, in some ways, what I'm going to say is totally veering off topic, and yet it's not, because I write about the connection between sermon writing and poetry writing.
Oh.
And that's also one of the things that I am very, I think is so important, is that you have to really be okay about starting off being terrible.
Yeah,
and you have to
exactly.
be, and starting off also being out of control, right?
Yeah,
and
yep.
then later you have time to edit, and then you have to uh-huh. really, there's other things to do, but I think that that's one of the hardest things about any kind of writing, especially when it's creative in any way.
Yeah.
And so I really appreciate that you said that.
Well, yeah, and you know, like I said, I mean, I've like obsessively listened to podcasts and interviews and whatever I can with other writers, because it's an unknown world that yeah. you're embarking on. And mm-hmm. You know, what I found, and I've been to, like, there's another great program called AWP for writers.
Oh, yes.
You can
mm-hmm.
go, and I went to that in Seattle a couple yeah. of years ago, and mm-hmm. just meeting other writers, you know, and what you find at the end of it, at the end of all of this research, I found that it's whatever works for you. Some writers do great with, like, plot, really solid plot structure and points that they meet along the way. Some writers, you know, don't even know what they're writing about until they finish, and then they go back and read, and then they're like, oh, well, this is what the plot is. You know, some people need to have feedback to find out where to go. You know, there's no wrong way to do it. And I think as long as your heart is in what you're doing, you're going to get to the place that you need to get to, you know, and it's, you know, let yourself just, you know, spill it all out and see what, when you, and then, you know, like Stephen King has this great technique where he'll, you know, write a rough draft and then he won't touch it for like 6 weeks or 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. And he'll let everybody else read it, you know, let them write their opinion or, you know, whatever, make notes, and he stays away from it and does anything but look at it. And then when he comes back after that time and that space, then he can look at it with fresh eyes. And I think that that's something that I'm going to try to aspire to do as well, just kind of, you know, let it resonate a little bit and think about it and what you remember that you like that you did and what you don't, and then when you go back and read it, see if that's the same, you know, so... It's all trial by fire, though, really.
But that's very good. It'll be interesting to see how that works for you, too, and just
yeah.
letting it kind of sit and ripen and come back
mm-hmm.
to it. That's,
yeah.
Well, thank you so much for your time today.
Well, thank
and
you.
And your residency is just coming to a close this week, is that correct?
On Tuesday,
or,
I believe.
Tuesday.
Monday or
okay.
Tuesday.
Well, I wish you all the best with your next days
thank
here.
You.
And do keep the seminary posted about your evolving film project.
Oh, I will. I'd love to. I love this place. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Look for future details about Lee's project on the Gettysburg National Military Park website. You've been listening to The Seminary Explores. I'm Katie Giebenhain with Seminary Ridge Review. My guest has been artist Lee Rydberg. Thank you.
You have been listening to The Seminary Explores from historic Seminary Ridge in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, a production of Gettysburg Seminary. We invite you to visit our website at www.ltsg.edu. Opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of Gettysburg Seminary or the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.